Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Match Ball.
Hello there and welcome to an impromptu match ball for the Fulham League Cup game, brought to you with Levi Solicitors, who will do you 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan, joined by the usual two, Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
We didn't plan to do this, but we're doing it anyway because it was thrilling. Penalties, babies, helicopters, mash-up away kits. Where do you want to start?
I thought we were going to pretend we're straight off the back of the game. Whoa, adrenaline still pumping, not having had a full night's sleep or about an hour's sleep in Moscow's case.
The reason why we're doing it the day after is because we recorded yesterday and we were planning to record this morning and we thought, a Tuesday night, too much. But
and we also thought a League Cup defeat.
Yeah.
I don't need it so much, Paul, does it?
Also, it wasn't on television.
No.
So nobody could watch it.
None of us saw it.
No. It's all just excellent commentary, I thought, from Adam Pope and the crew on BBC Radio Leeds. Really, their words were like pictures in my eyes.
In your mind?
My eyes.
In your eyes. Yes, I started this one. Were you like me? Like I started watching it. I'll watch it because it's Leeds and it's on and I can't miss it because kind of this is what we do for a job now. And then as time went on, I got really invested in it. And then by the end, I couldn't sleep at the end. Yes. I couldn't settle down because of the penalties.
Imagine wanting Leeds United to win a football match. Gets you, doesn't it, when they're your favourite football team?
No, but to be honest, like I've been enjoying just a little bit of respite from the stresses of trying to remain in the Premier League. I thought, well, it feels a bit like a free hit. So if we go out, I'd done that thing where you make that little, it's that deal with the devil within your own mind. I thought, if we go out, it's fine because it's the League Cup. The priority, of course, is the Premier League. And then, of course, by the time it comes down to the game, you desperately want to get through, don't you?
We are used to it. I mean, we don't... This feels like the furthest we've been in a cup in about 5 years, and we've only won two games. Mm-hmm. That's probably not factually accurate, but we don't do very well in them, do we? So yeah, I think it's quite nice. It sounded like great atmosphere down there.
I mean, that's the first thing to say. Let's talk about the fans, because they were absolutely amazing. Like 5,500. I know we've got fans all over the country, but let's not do ourselves down. That was a brilliant effort for everyone to turn out for that, and they just sounded ace throughout. Some nice songs there, some about Ronaldo. I heard some about those that we mentioned before. Probably can't repeat those, but that follow, follow, follow. I know it's not an original chant, the follow, follow, follow one, but it seems like we've got a new song about the best team in the world. Yeah,
easy to remember. The commentator I had, it wasn't Adam Pope, weirdly. It was some other bloke.
Over for him a few times. I heard some snatches.
I think you normally hear him on BeIN Sport, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's where I recognised his voice from, but it was just radio because we couldn't watch it. But he was praising our fans. And
he was rooting for us, wasn't he?
He even was, when there was a massive, yo, shit, he went, they're enjoying themselves, or something like that. And I thought, oh, fair enough. And it was very good of Fulham to stay completely silent for us as well.
I mean, they were. Is this a library? It sounded like it, didn't it? I know they're a bit posh and they don't care about football in the same way that we do, but goodness me, it was a world of difference.
There were some kids trying to get a goalkeeper chant going at one point. I think they were impressed by our you shit bastard, etc. we're trying to do that, but nobody's really interested when they're, you know, in an handful of stockbrokers.
You're trying your best. Good.
I hope everybody got home safe last night because it was very, there's a real edge around Craven Cottage.
I mean, again, it's only from having watched the highlights that have since been revealed that I've seen any of this. But during the penalties, they kept focusing on about like the same three or four people behind the goal. And I felt like I knew them by the end, this little family that were in the Fulham end.
That's what Melier did, didn't he? He gave him a nice look and a little wave at the end.
He was, he's just tweeted, in fact, some photos of himself from the match saying making friends in London. He's got some new mates behind that goal.
I mean, how old is Melier now? 20? 21?
One.
That's 21. That's really young.
His face is so young as well. Like, he's got... It's only because his head's attached to this gigantic body that you kind of realise he is a fully grown man. But his face, he could probably pass for about 15, I reckon.
Yeah, he's the one that's going to stop you getting in the pub, isn't he, without ID?
Well, there was a hint of stubble when there was a close-up of his face, and I did start imagining what it would be like if now Melier was able and then carried out growing a full Alan Cork, Roy Keane-style beard. Like, if that was his next move, because he's quite weird, and I love that about him. And if his next weird step was to just start combining his baby face, his actual baby age, with the beard of, like, Grandpa Simpson, it would be wonderful. And his youth, really, you could see his how young he is when he was laughing at the penalty takers.
Just need to just interject up. And just tell you, I don't think Grandpa Simpson has a beard, does he? I think it's his mate that's got a beard. Grandpa Simpson, I think, might be clean shaven.
Oh, yes. Who am I thinking? Well, I'm thinking of the other bloke, aren't I? So
Grandpa Simpson's friend with the beard. A beard like that.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
Off of the famous television programme.
The Simpsons. Good anecdote, that. Yeah.
Melier's a good goalkeeper.
He is. I was very impressed with him, the Iceman. It's interesting because we've got the interview with Nigel Martin coming up on the Extra Ball this week, and we asked him about why are goalkeepers a different breed, and it seemed to be that, like Nigel Martin was saying, it is just down to temperament and the ability to put mistakes behind you and things like that. And Melier is ice cold. He has got ice in his veins to be pissing about with the fans behind the goal. Towards the end of that penalty shootout, and with the taker as well, because he was like grinning, wasn't he, and like doing the old pointy thing and just messing about.
Nigel Martin was also pointing out that when he was Melier's age, he was playing in non-league in Cornwall, so for him to be playing where he is and doing as well as he is great. I mean, not just the penalty save, which was obviously good to finish on. I mean, he seemed to be diving quite early on some of the others, but we'll forgive him. But he just made some really good saves through the game, and in every game you find it, after most games you can chalk up at least three or four really good saves he's made.
Mm-hmm.
Jasper Beardsley.
Jasper, is that?
Jasper Beardsley, the fellow who says, that's a paddling.
Okay.
So now, there you go.
Thanks. Thanks for that.
Well, you interrupted me bring that up, so I'm interrupting you.
Your anecdote was flawed. But anyway, I was just going to say, on the penalties, I think they go early because they've got to be on the line now, haven't they? They can't come off the line, so they've got to make a decision early and go with it. It's changed the dynamic slightly of how penalties are taken and received. But no, it was good, wasn't it? I mean, the game overall, do you think we deserve to win on balance?
Yeah, I would say so. Rodrigo had stuck away his chances. There was enough in it, I think, for us to have won that game.
Could you pick a man of the match? Tyler Roberts, Moscow, maybe?
Well, you've rattled him. Get into Tyler Roberts.
He's on the floor. I'm kicking him while he's down now. Just to add as well, Moscow didn't sleep very well last night, so he's quite tired. So
irritable. So
I'm picking on somebody vulnerable here.
I mean, he was 6 out of 10 at best, really, wasn't he? But it's interesting, the 9 in a Bielsa team, because there's not a lot for you to do apart from run around, and if you get a chance, put it away. And it was Rodrigo was good until he went to 9, and then he kind of disappeared. And then, I mean, Joffy, when he came on amidst all the excitement and the cheering, did he touch the ball until he had the penalty? So it's kind of, but that's the job when you play 9. And Roberts didn't make much of the chance. If Somerville's little pass to him had just been had that little bit off it, I have faith he would have buried that. And then again, I think the only new information, because that's the thing, is trying to find new things to say about Tyler Roberts, so it's not just constantly, he's shit, he's not, he's shit. He's not. Shit. He's not. Forever. There was that one chance that he made for himself where there was a ball into the box and his first touch kind of flicked it sort of up and around the defender, and then it was a good block to stop him scoring. Bamford doesn't really do that kind of thing. It's like, it's a different style of centre forward play. And if he is going to do anything ever for Leeds United at all, maybe differentiating himself, like doing different things to Bamford, because we used to have, it set me off onto a bit of a nostalgic revelry. Maybe this is why I couldn't sleep, because I was thinking about Kemar Roof. I remember he used to be very different to Pat Bamford. We used to play different ways when depending on who was on the field. So maybe if Tyler Roberts could invent some differences between him and Pat Bamford, he would be more useful. But as
it's not too long ago, is it? Since, I think it's after that whole game, wasn't it, where people were like, just play Roberts.
Mm.
Bamford, just don't play Bamford, play Roberts. It's weird how things... how things change.
But that is the championship.
We might have a choice this weekend if Bamford's ankle holds up. So it'll be good to see how, if that is the what we have to go with, how Tyler gets on with the full support of the loving Elland Road crowd cheering on one of their favourite sons wearing the white shirt. I'm sure that'll really help him put in a tip-top performance.
I think with Roberts, do you agree, we're not far off groaning territory now. I think we're only a few games away from if he continues to be a bit hit and miss, because he's just become the lightning rod for it. And I don't want to get caught up on this again, because we do it every week. But you're right, Mosco. But I just think we're close to that point, and I hope it doesn't happen, because it'll be no good for him and it won't help us. But
I'd love to back away from that precipice, and that's the whole point, because he's got a 3-year contract, and I think we'll know if he's any good by the end of the season. We're not going to work it out in September. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about realism and expectations and stuff. I didn't expect him to turn into Marco van Basten within 6 weeks of the season starting. I would have liked him to play better than he has. But then there was, even after the Liverpool game, and because of how he played as a sub against Scum, there was a little bit of like, well, maybe he should play instead of Rodrigo, like just give him a go, because we were saying he's not made the team any worse when he replaces Rodrigo. Suddenly Rodrigo has one good game and he's an absolute hero. So.
And he missed some sitters last night, but it is worth saying.
Mean Rodrigo?
Yeah.
He had a good game though, don't you think?
He was fairly good, but he should also have scored that pretty much open net.
The right foot, the one that came to him on his right foot after Roberts had shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to score that.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for it. Mm-hmm. It was not an easy height, but equally you just need to, it's more or less into an empty net, so you don't even need to have, it doesn't need to be a good finish, it just needs to be prodded towards the goal, and it is fine and it goes in and we win that game more comfortably. So.
But when you had in Newcastle and last night, you're starting to see things happen for him now. He looks a lot more effective and closer to being worth the money, because there was just that. You know, I always talk about like speed of thought and the ability to do things quickly, and it seems like he had it last night. Admittedly, you're playing against Fulham's second string, so we need to, you know, contextualise it with that. But I just thought those little quick interplays, and I thought Dan James seemed to do that really, really well as well. He seemed to have a good game, and what a day he had yesterday. I mean, tweet said about the adrenaline, bloody hell.
Before we get into him, just on, you're playing against Fulham's second string, but also playing sort of for our kind of second string, which I don't think helped anybody, because you could see in the first 10 minutes there was a lot of players looking at each other going, but why are you over there instead of over there, and who are you and what's going on? And so Somerville making his debut, Dan James is brand new, Dan James he's not been learning the system for months and years the way that some of the other players were, so there was a lot of things mixed about, and that's one of the reasons why Charlie Creswell was able to come in and shine so much, is because it's probably one of the easier jobs at centre back for Bielsa, is, you know, you tackle that, block that, head that and pass it is the job. And so he was able to do all those things quite easily, whereas the job at the other end of the pitch, where it's much, you've got to look for runners and be creative and be proactive instead of reactive, it's difficult to switch all the attackers around and be as effective as a settled first team, whereas it's a little bit easier at the back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He was good, wasn't he, though, Creswell?
Amazing.
Excellent. England captain in Qatar.
Why wait? Do it now.
Just put him in there.
Put him straight in.
Ben White, bag of shite.
The way he played last night, I think he'd refuse to go to Qatar on principle. He's that kind of king.
He genuinely was brilliant last night, though. I was hugely impressed with him because we saw him in a League Cup game at the start of last year, didn't we?
Surrounded by other kids.
He was alongside Casey, who we've obviously since decided isn't good enough, and he's gone to Blackpool. So maybe that was making life more difficult for him. But he's also physically grown in that time as well. Like he's came back in from pre-season, didn't he? And everyone's seen the pictures and being like, Jesus Christ, what's happened to
his
him?
His head is enormous.
Like he's a very big child.
Creswell.
Yeah.
He's got sort of an Avengers quality about him, hasn't he? Like he could be an Avenger. Stick a cape on him, see how he gets on.
But I thought he was great. I thought he brought the ball out from the back really well as doing defensive stuff. There was points in the game, even late on, he was still making runs forward. And like when he just saw there was a gap for it through the middle, he was like, well, this is for me then. And in the same way as Ben White used to do as well.
Shackleton was excellent yesterday, I thought. I thought he was the real star turn. Mm. The number of times he'd get it in tight areas and then on the half turn, get it and come out of there, I thought it was really, really good.
I had a little, another sort of sleepless thought about Shackleton is that, you know, we're not really sure what he is. Maybe he is Stuart Dallas. That's him. Because he ended up all over. He played the Phillips job. I think he might have moved forward in midfield. He ended up at right back again, inevitably. And it's very much that Stuart Dallas thing of kind of, what do you want me to do next, boss? And then go and do it really well. So we've been looking for him to sort of get into the team and get a run and settle down. Maybe he never will.
We're also looking for him to step up, and I think he's really done that this season. He's stepped up and he's taken it by the balls, this one. I just thought he looked excellent. Really pleased with him. Somerville as well. Some more bright stuff in there, I thought. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I thought he was decent. I think he was certainly good enough to justify getting rid of Helder Costa. Because he's a backup winger, isn't he? But I can see more in his future. Like, Helder Costa's not going to improve, is he? Let's face it. He was what he was, and whether or not you thought that was fine or absolutely awful, it's kind of up to you, but it was never going to improve. I thought he had some promising moments yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you've got to remember, it's his first start, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
He came on against, that was his debut against Newcastle, wasn't it? So this is his first start, and in a team that's all mixed up, I thought he did pretty well.
Forshaw off the bench had the chance to win it. There was no way he was going to score that ever.
It was set up, wasn't it? The moment where he could announce his comeback, but Christ, I've not even seen a replay of the penalty. He looked quite far over.
Tell you, everybody seems to have not been able to figure out Firpo. I mean, A, what a penalty, because everybody thought this is the one that ends up in the River Thames. Mm-hmm. And he absolutely twatted it in. What do you reckon to his game overall? I think he's one that you can't quite figure out yet at the minute. And I don't know if it's just because his confidence has been shot to pieces with being, you know, hammered at Barcelona and put in their reserves or whatever, or he just hasn't quite learned the system yet. Because you talk about demands on players, you know, the fullbacks have got a lot on their shoulders at Leeds.
If you say he's got confidence problems, my assessment of him as probably our worst player last night may not help him.
Is it that he's bad, or is it just that he's a little bit erratic at the minute and hasn't quite got it figured out?
There was one point in the first half where he just let the ball go straight. I can't really even tell if he passed it or miscontrolled it, but it just went straight out of play. And it was just a little bit too Luke Varney for my liking. It was the sort of thing where that had happened in
when we had
some very bad players, and you'd go, oh, okay.
The better part of me tries to think on a human level, maybe he's just trying too hard to impress, he's trying too hard to force it, and he just needs to just get in the team, bed in, and settle down. And we've seen so many times with so many players how they improve under Bielsa over the course of a number of months, and then, you know, years as well.
He was better against Newcastle than he was last night, I thought. I struggled to find much that he did well last night. Is that harsh?
No, I mean, it can be difficult and odd playing against different levels of opposition and then everything mixed around. It's weird because when you were referencing that Varney-ish pass, it gave me a flashback to that Calvin Phillips pass out of our penalty area where he really lazily just rolled it to one of their attackers and let them have another chance. I was thinking, that's not great. So there was a lot of that from excellent players as well as players who are yet to prove themselves as well. I don't like lazy Phillips. I love Calvin Phillips, and I don't like it when he does stuff like that. Yeah. It's supposed to be perfect. And that's why that stuck in my mind, because it's like, It's like seeing Jesus kind of like smack a kitten or something. You're not supposed to do these things. But Firpo, same as just, I think he's better than he's getting credit for. And I think he's improving. And I wouldn't be judging him necessarily off of a Carabao Cup match. Like, I wouldn't necessarily judge anybody too much because it's difficult to get carried away. I mean, you know, Tyler Roberts has scored a hat trick. He still needs to do it in the Premier League, doesn't he? And Charlie Creswell, we've now seen him against Championship opposition. He needs to, and that's a positive sign. But then Gelhardt off the bench on that performance, you would never pick him again. But then we know that he's got so much more quality than he was able to show. So it's kind of judgments off of a Carabao Cup game against Fulham are quite difficult to draw.
Well, Joffy's mum was pleased anyway. Lynn tweeted her joy at seeing a baby boy pull on the shirt for the first time. And you forget it is a big moment just because he's been knocking around in the club for ages. Mm. And we've seen lots of videos of him twatting him in the under-23s. It's still a step up.
Karen McKinstry as well, if we're on the mums.
I was going to say, he might almost benefit from a little bit of the McKinstry stuff, who didn't get cheered on. It didn't seem like people thought he was going to score that penalty, but was just as good as Joffy was. Like, they're both, like, making your debut is the big significant step in that. Charlie Creswell made his debut against Hull last season, didn't impress. So now he's come back and he's better and looked good. With this one, it's about ticking off achievements. So Gelhardt has played, McKinstry has played, they both scored penalties in the shootout. So they both got very good things out of the game that kind of then you don't want to be reading too much into how they actually played in the match, because, you know, if you're not going to pass to Joffy while he's on the pitch, then you can't do anything. So there's nothing to really say about him. But I felt like the cheers when Gelhardt came on, I was kind of like, just
might not help him.
Yeah, let's not assume he's going to do everything in this game himself just yet. But and because he didn't, you know, that's how it turned out. It was very much the debut of a kid making his first appearance in the Leeds team, and kind of McKinstry maybe got the benefit of being able to do that under the radar.
It felt like nothing happened in the last sort of 20 minutes of the game, didn't it? It
lost its shape, didn't it?
Yeah, completely. Everything, they'd made a few changes, we made a few changes, and it all just fell apart. McKinstry's penalty though was really good, because I think that Rodak kind of knew that, well, he could see his face, that he was a child, because we're saying how young Melier looks, he's probably even more youthful. And he just stood still for the penalty, did Rodak, didn't he? Because I think he was thinking, oh, I'll just blast this down the middle as like a safe option. But as it was, nice side foot, made him look daft.
Penalties were all, for the most part, great, I thought, particularly the kids. But like Joffy's was amazing, wasn't it? Mm.
We did skip over Forshaw. We just mentioned his penalty, which is harsh, because I actually thought he did all right with Forshaw.
Yeah.
And it kind of, it's had, I think just having an actual midfielder in midfield,
it adds
a certain amount of shape and pace into the game, which, even though I wouldn't say he did anything brilliantly, just having someone there willing to receive the ball and do normal midfield things with it, which feels like, as brilliant as Dallas has been in midfield, when it's a game that doesn't require someone to just give it and bomb forward, it sometimes, I don't feel like we lose shape in there. And it's the same as when Click doesn't play, it all feels quite fragmented, whereas Forshaw is quite a reassuring and steady presence.
He's a tidy metronome, isn't he, Forshaw, when you put him in there?
If you remember the start of the Championship promotion season before he got knackered, we were brilliant and we had Forshaw in the team. And it's not necessarily, we carried on being brilliant without him, but we were brilliant with him, so it shouldn't be forgetting that he can contribute to overall brilliantness.
Radrazzani loves him as well.
Yes.
Bunch of haters. Enjoy the win and support always our club and all our lads. Blue heart, yellow heart, white heart, geld heart.
The poor lad that he was replying to there is like frantically saying this morning, I wasn't even being sarcastic, and I don't think he even was. He said something about when Forshaw coming on, like, oh, our saviour, and Radrazzani's taking it as hate when he's down like, no, I was really pleased to see him coming back on.
But Andrea's had it. He's sat there, he's had a glass of wine, you know, he's feeling a little bit fruity, the phone's in his hand, come on.
We said before, like, he needs to
put it down. He needs
a parental lock on that thing, doesn't he?
What's that feature called on iPhones that you can do that with? Maybe somebody at the club could stage an intervention, just say, it just doesn't help. It's fine. You're entitled if you want to think that people are being a bit unfair to you. Also, don't be so thin-skinned. Just put your phone down. It's absolutely fine.
Bunch of haters. Such a great start to a tweet. When, he doesn't need to turn into what's his face at Peterborough, does he?
McAntony.
him.
Yes. So all in all, a decent night's work. And Wembley.
How far off Wembley are we? I don't even know.
Fourth round. Last 16 we're in now, I think.
Is it?
Can't be. What?
I think so.
I know the final is in February, so we could win a cup in February ahead of being relegated in May. So that would be...
Don't say that.
Pretty exciting stuff. I did see The Athletic did a big story about the League Cup. I didn't read, but the...
Great. What an endorsement.
But the,
we're proud to team up with The Athletic.
It was really long. Couldn't be bothered. I'd read Phil Hayes' stuff, and that was good. I'm not bothered about the rest of it. And you get 100 grand for winning it.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, wow. It's like 40 million for the Champions League, isn't it? About 38 million or something for the Premier League, and then about 20 quid for the League Cup. But it all counts, doesn't it? Because we've got John Kevin Augustine to pay for. So.
Trying to find out. So we've had the third round. We're in, the fourth round is 16 teams, then quarterfinals.
Are they doing eight there for that?
Eight teams for that. The semifinals.
Four?
Wikipedia says a total of four teams will play.
Right,
is it
a three-team round robin for the final?
The semi-finals are double-legged.
Right.
Is that still happening?
It's the return of double legs.
Mm.
Apparently it was single legs last year due to fixture congestion caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. But thankfully, that's all over now, so we can have two-legged semi-finals in the Carabao Cup.
We can beat Birmingham in the semi-final
in the week,
lose to Villa.
Week commencing 3rd of January. The semi-finals of the League Cup. Mad, isn't it? And the final is the 27th of February.
Hmm.
A total of two teams will play in this round.
Should we try win that then?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's not really good, are they?
I know people think it's shit and Man City just win it every year anyway.
Somebody's got to stop them.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's depressing, isn't it? Because they just rest a load of players and they're still good enough to win it every single year.
There is always a bit of, I feel a bit of envy sometimes when I look at the other results, like Brentford 7, Oldham 0. Like, Brentford aren't very good. Like, why can't we beat Oldham?
Yeah, but Oldham 7-0? Fairly recently, looked after by Harry Kewell, so.
Well, exactly. And then, but then Man City beating Wickham 6-1. I know they are all lower up, opposition. Burnley beating Rochdale 4-1, but... If that would be the nice thing to add to, and I suppose all the teams are out now, so we can't unless we get Preston or somebody. But now that we've won two games in the cup competition, I'd really like us to just like slot in 10 against somebody. Maybe we have to do it in the third round of the FA Cup if we get Crawley again.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of losing to them, like now we've proven we can beat teams in a cup. Let's beat one of them really well, and that would be. That would be fun and exciting.
You're asking for a lot.
Well, I know.
We'll see. Hey, listen, we'll wrap it up there because we've gone quite long enough and we've got more podcasts to record. So we will thank you for joining us on this impromptu match ball and we'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.